Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right, enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
That I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got 7 kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong? Disconnect. Yes, I am,
Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. He's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I've had to bone up on my little kid jokes. Little kid jokes are worse than dad jokes. My son and his wife are spending a week here in town, and my three of my grandkids, 7, 5, and 2, are at the house. Now, that is prime age for little kid jokes. I'm going to tell them this one. I'm going to say, what did the turkey say upon getting an invitation to Thanksgiving? No thanks, I'm stuffed. Now, that's a little kid joke. And the bad thing about little kid jokes is, if they're telling them, don't interrupt them. You interrupt them, they start over. They go back to the beginning. Okay, Grandpa, they call me Pop. I like Pop better. What did the turkey say? Okay, what did the turkey say? What did it, they say about getting an invitation? Go ahead. What did the turkey say? And you just shut up. Let him say it. Do not interrupt. And they giggle the whole time. Pop. Okay. What did the turkey say? I just sit there and I numb my brain. And I listen. You know, like a good grandpa's supposed to do. All right, well, let me give you the number here before my brain goes too numb. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. I just got an email the other day from Dear Emma. She said, what is the number to call? You say it too fast. All right. 877. Got it. 573. Got the pen in your hand? 7825. 877-57-EQUAL. Both come out to the same number. If you'd like to get in some final calls here before the Thanksgiving holidays, before the folks are coming in from out of town, and you're thinking, what do? I see them once every 8 months. They're coming in. They know where we live. They're probably going to eat dinner with us. Oh, they don't like my religion. They don't like my politics. They don't like my kids. They don't like my house. How do I navigate this? I'll give you some pointers here shortly, but I just want to give you out the number again. 877-573-7825. Definitely want to hear from you. I know I've been slaving over a hot microwave all day at home, helping my wife cook, you know. Yeah, right. I did pour some cider. So here, honey, got some cider for you. Okay. That said, I had one other conflict this morning. I got my cell phone bill and I was shocked. $256. My mom and dad used to have a phone bill of $6 a month. $256. So I'm trying to figure out why that was. What happened? What's going on? Yeah, you know, you had to give me your password. And of course, my password was incorrect. I thought it was correct, but it wasn't. Then they shut me down. Then they said, nope, now you've tried too many times. We can't be sure it's you. Oh! One time, I think this would be my wish, my holiday wish. One time, when I put in my username and my password, I'd like them to say, close enough, good enough, come on in. All right, let's talk a little bit. I don't recall, and I'm going to go back to when I was in my 20s. I'm not going to go back to when I was 8 because that's unreliable in my memories. I don't recall at all so many people having mixed feelings about the holidays with relatives. And those mixed feelings based upon differences in viewpoints. As I look back on it, now again, we were a very tight-knit, extended Italian family, which meant there were 19 conversations going on at the same time, everyone vying for your attention and smacking you on the shoulder trying to get it. Raymond, hey, Raymond, come here, Raymond, come here, Raymond. Yeah, Uncle Frank, I'm just talking to Aunt Grace. Okay, well, come over here when you're done. All right, so those were just conversations. They were high volume, high level, intense conversations about what's the best way to get from point A to point B in the shortest amount of time, because one way has four lights and the other way has a higher speed limit. And that's what occupied your time. Well, I'm getting a lot as a psychologist, and I'm hearing a lot informally of people saying, I'm not really sure how this holiday is going to go down. First of all, my grown kids are wayward. They don't like the way we think. And I'm not sure what they're going to bring up or how they're going to challenge me or if they're going to challenge me and how to avoid this. And I got relatives who think because I'm Catholic and I try to live my faith and I have certain moral perspectives that I am totally out of sync with the culture and they need to correct me and I don't know how to do this. I think that has gotten so much worse. And if I were to say, and I got research to back me up on this because they've done surveys, that the prickliness comes more from those people who would call themselves progressives or left-leaning or far liberal because they seem to be less tolerant for people who think differently. Now you say, no, Dr. A, way to go. No, you're conservative orthodoxy showing through. No, no, I've seen surveys on this where they say people who call themselves conservative are much more likely to have friends who are liberal than liberals are to have friends who are conservative. They've done surveys on this, so it just ain't me. But that said, that's neither here nor there. What do you do about that? Well, a couple things you got to remember. You can be pleasant and civil, dare I say even delightful, for a short period of time. How long is the get-together, huh? 3 hours? They got other places to go. You got other places to go. How long is it? You could be pleasant and civil for 3 hours. Two, if they've had a habit in the past of bringing up stuff that is designed to provoke or designed to jab, you know it. Not going to be a surprise. So when it happens, your attitude's got to be, so what? So what? She's done this before. She's doing it again. I don't see how she needs to keep doing this, but apparently it's something that's moving her. That said, you can just let them talk and not say a word back. You can do that. You can just stare at them. And if you've had teenagers, you've got practice at looking dumb. You can do that. Do your Columbo look, just like you're lost. You could do what decent therapists do and just try to understand them. Ask them how they got to that point. What are they basing it on? Why do they think that way? What have they heard that makes them think that way? What is it that they believe about that? And then you can ask follow-up questions like, what used to be a good journalist asking follow-up questions when you get an answer that doesn't really seem to dovetail with something they said 3 minutes ago, you can ask them. So if you think that, then does this follow? Now, that's risky because people are more likely to get angry when you are using their own reasoning and logic to pursue why they think the way they do. When you just challenge them, when you give your perspective and it is opposed to their perspective, and they just get mad. But if you use their own thinking, I just believe a woman should be able to choose. I don't think the church should get involved with telling women what to do. Well, okay, but what would they choose? That's their body. They need to decide what to do with their body. Okay. Can they decide what to do with their body all the time? If they went to a doctor and said, cut off my thumb, would the doctor cut off their thumb? No, that's completely different. Tell me how it is. In other words, you're just kind of, I'm pursuing how you're thinking. You could ask, do you really want to know why I think the way I do? Are you asking, or did you just disagree? And if you just disagree, then I don't really want to get into it with you about this. Rather talk about which mini print goes with my bathroom's countertop. Brace yourself if you have certain relatives you know are going to fling about statements designed to irritate you and agitate you. Just brace yourself. Know it's going to happen. And then shrug it off. But Dr. Ray, they're attacking the faith. I need to defend the faith. Yes and no. Jesus is a big boy. He kind of controls the universe. So their misguided opinion or their uninformed opinion, their hostile opinion, you can ask him, you can say, do you really want to know why the church does that? I think I know, thank you. Okay, what do you know? Tell me what you know. In other words, you're not obligated to step in and say, I've got to defend the faith. I can't let them think like this. Well, wait a minute. It may be beyond your ability to make them think any other way. Size it up. See if you've got a soft opening. If you don't, you're going to have to just let it go. I mean, I have to keep my mouth shut constantly around people who are itching for a fight about whatever they're itching for. So just a few tidbits, and I see I've gone long. Okay, let me give you the number, and then we'll get to your calls. 877-57 equal number, call, Dr. Ray, thank you.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Life can be overwhelming, leaving you feeling anxious, alone, or even in despair. That's why the nonprofit Revive app was created, to help you navigate the darkness and discover the light. With Revive, confidential conversations with a certified spiritual companion are always just a tap away. And right now, your first two sessions are free. Download the Revive app today. That's R-E-V-I-V, and then the number 3. Let them help you find joy in tomorrow.
You're feeling overwhelmed, carrying burdens no one else sees? This Giving Tuesday, Ave Maria Radio wants to offer you a gift. On December 2nd, we're dedicating a special Mass and lifting up the prayer intentions of our radio family. You've helped us proclaim the gospel. Now let us pray for you. Visit AveMariaRadio.net to share your prayer request on December 2nd. Let's lift each other up in hope.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town. where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover Championship Golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
I just got a dad joke from my boss, Jack Williams. Says, what is a turkey thankful for at Thanksgiving? And I asked him, is this a dad joke or a little kid joke? The dad answer is, the turkey is thankful for vegetarians. The kid answer is, I don't know. What's the turkey thankful for at Thanksgiving? All right, 877-57-EQUAL. One of the things I want to say, by the way, I don't understand. This is something that's always perplexed me. I had a caller from Detroit, and he had some great insightful questions up there. Now, I'm thinking, when I get back, I'll get to your calls, and then he left. Now, is that because he had second thoughts? Was it because he lost cell phone? Is it because that he had to be somewhere, he got to the drugstore, and he had to get out? Is it because another call came in, which was far more important than me? Is it because he's not a listener to this show and he figures, how long is this guy going to talk? I thought he's supposed to take calls. Because if he were a regular listener to the show, he knew I would ramble on for about 8-10 minutes, my opening monologue, and then take calls. I'll get to his question here in a second. But this is something I was thinking about, and this is a great reason to be a guy. Now, on Thanksgiving, there's a lot of football. A lot of football. And if the guys sit down on the couch, watch football, they can sit there not saying a word through three quarters of that game, and neither one of them is thinking, he must be mad at me. Why is he so quiet? 877-57-EQUAL. Ken is saying, how do you advise your older daughters in their early 20s on questions about relationships? Well, I'd want to know what those questions are, which I can't know because Ken's not there anymore. How to know when you are in love enough and things like that. I don't know if you could know when you're in love enough. Enough kind of implies that there's a goal, a finishing goal to being in love, and then you're close enough. I think a lot of it is knowing that person. And one of the biggest cultural myths is that the only way to know a person before marriage is to live with them. That's totally fallacious. Research says it. You have much more chance of getting a divorce if you live with somebody first. What? That doesn't make sense. Well, yeah, much of what the culture tells you to live morally doesn't make any sense. Immorality is illogical. I think a lot of it would be that you have enough time in the courtship to see this person in a whole bunch of settings, with a whole bunch of life questions and the deeper questions. Dave Barry says, Dave Barry's a great columnist, very funny. He says, one of the red flags in a relationship is how they treat a restaurant server. Right? Someone to be at their command, in a way. Someone who, on the social level, in that context, is one down, as the shrinks would say. A one down relationship. How do they treat the server? Now, if they're polite and kind, that doesn't necessarily mean they're a great individual that you would want to marry. But if they're not polite and not kind and abrupt and rude, especially after they say blessings first, that's worrisome. Why would they do that? And by the way, I've talked to a lot of servers, especially the women, and they're on the lookout. And if you're going to say blessings in a restaurant, you better be so sweet to them. And you know what else they say? This is sad. They say that oftentimes those folks are the lowest tippers. But it's not unusual that they'll leave a tract of some type, but a very low tip. So here's my theory. You going to say blessings before a meal in a restaurant? You've just committed yourself to a big tip. Because if that person is seeing you say blessings, and a lot of times they'll come up to the table and you're still in the middle of your prayers. When I was in the evangelical world, they went on and on and on and on. I mean, I barely was pulling the bread toward myself, and they're still praying with a lot of just. Lord, we just thank you for this just beautiful day, and we just want to know how much you appreciate us being here, and we just want to say a lot of justs, a lot of justs. And traveling mercies, too. We used to get traveling mercies a lot. But if you're going to do that, you better tip. Better tip big. 877-573-7825. No calls. This is rare. Now, again, around the holidays, that tends to happen. Now, I'm perfectly willing to talk as much as I want because I got a lot to say. But I'd rather talk to you. And plus, my boss is listening, and he's going to think I'm not popular. You know, nobody's calling you, Ray. Maybe we can just dump your show and not worry about it because, yeah, you'll help one person every 3 weeks. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. And people tell me the number one reason they don't call? Because they think, one, they're not going to get through, and two, they don't want to wait. My answer to that would be, well, then maybe the question ain't that important to you. I had several homeschooling mothers tell me after they emailed me with a question, and I wrote them back, and I said, well, if you can please give me a call, because I would like to ask some questions to clarify all this. They said, no, I can't. I want you to answer it in an email because I homeschool during the day, and, we don't want to take time to call. I said, just call and put the phone on hold on speaker. That's it, and then you can tell when I'm coming. This ain't like the old days when you had to pick up the phone and you had to hold it to your ear, and you asked for Sarah. Recall that from Andy Griffith Show? Sarah. Was it Sarah? The operator. Okay, we're getting calls coming in now. All I had to do is prod. Call Mount Pilot. Prod with a little guilt there. You remember that that one with Gomer where he was deputized? Citizens arrest! Citizens arrest! All right. You want to go to Derek yet? Eric? Okay, we got Derek. Derek from Kentucky. Hey, Derek, what's up?
That's cool, boy. That was quick. I got right in. But look, man, we love you, man. We love you. We love you. This show is amazing.
You got to get out more. Derek, you got to get out more, man.
Yeah, I think that's true. But what I was going to say was you need to put a little humor, man. You're just way too serious.
I'm dry. I know. I'm dry. You know why that is? Because humor has a little I don't care attitude toward it. And as I get older and I want people just to get off my lawn, it gets easier for me to say things that would be edgy. And I used to worry about it. You know, when I was 40 years old, I'd say, I don't know, man, I could get fired. Now I just say it and it's like, yeah, go ahead. Can me. I got to go get the mail.
Yeah, take a chance. You know, you got to sink or swim. You got to give it a whirl. That's John Michael Montgomery's song.
Derek, but, you know what? You didn't pick up on this because my humor is too subtle for you. But I said, Derek, what's up? Huh?
Well, actually, I was just going to put you on speaker because he said, well, when he says your name, you'll be on the air. And then I was, well, let me put it on speaker and listen to the show. And then I put it on speaker and said, Eric, you're on. Like, I didn't hear the beat.
Well, no, Derek, as in Derek, what's up? In other words, Derek, up. Never mind. When you have to explain a joke, it's dead. All right. Hey, Derek, blessed Thanksgiving to you. This is Dr. Ray. We'll get to your calls in a second.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Saint Jose Maria Escriva says that we are called to light up the pathways of this earth by being sowers of peace and joy. This comes from being aware that we are sons and daughters of God. On the road of life, though, we find dangers, but God walks with us every step of our life, pouring out the gifts of His Holy Spirit upon us. Our Lady is our companion, like GPS in our car, connected to the cloud and bringing the latest updates to help us navigate our journey and get out of traffic on the way to the eternal kingdom. We don't want to get into family fights on our way to God's vacation destination, but we should be the sowers of peace and joy. We shouldn't accept substitutes, accept only the authentic identity of being His children, His sons and daughters. Let's grow in happiness and bring peace to those around us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Is the ecclesial ministry of the Catholic Church personal as well as sacramental and collegial in character? The Catechism says yes. Jesus Christ, the founder of the Catholic Church, calls his ministers personally when he says, "Follow me." The College of Bishops are related to the Pontiff in Rome as Peter was related to the rest of the apostles. When Christ instituted the 12 apostles, he constituted them in a college or permanent assembly at the head of which he placed Peter, the rock of his church. Our Lord gave Peter the keys to his church, designating him the shepherd of the whole flock. The power Christ gave Peter to loose and to bind was also given to the College of the Apostles, united to its head. This pastoral office of Peter and the other apostles belongs to the Church's very foundation and is continued by the bishops under the primacy of the Pope. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Privilege to be with you. My age is privilege to be anywhere. Now, oh, no wonder he didn't get it, the poor guy. It's Eric. It's not Derek. We added a D to that because Derek, what's up? That's what Derek's do. They move things up. So I said, what's up? But no wonder. Sorry about that, Eric. You had a question about looking at the past from a different perspective. Yes, sir.
No, you can call me Derek. But anyway, I just want to say that it's just very powerful to, the field of psychology and counseling generally, to be able to look at your life and then apply logic, like apply what works and doesn't. Like so much of your advice is like common sense stuff, but you would never think about it until you hear it on the Dr. Ray show. And I just think that's a very powerful thing, and it's even more powerful when you approach it from a biblical perspective, because God's got this all under control. And that's all I had to say. And, you know, if you want to throw in, you know, comment on that or whatever.
I got a comment on your comment. If it's common sense stuff, why are you thinking that people don't think about it until it's brought to their attention and then they say, oh, yeah?
Why don't they think about it?
Well, if you said it's common sense, which implies that it's available to most people, and yet they don't think about it until somebody brings it to their attention, and then they have a revelation and say, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Why do you think that is?
Well, a couple things. One, I think a third-party perspective can help you see yourself and analyze things when you're not personally involved. And two, I don't think people use logic. I don't think they believe in logic. They don't employ logic. They don't want to use common sense. Heck no, I want to just run the world and do things my way and push over everybody. And if my aunt says something rude to me, just get rude back right away and hopefully she'll pop into line. I don't want to, you know, try to be nice to her or analyze what's going to work with her.
I think you got it. I think that Al Cresta, once we were talking, and he said, I'm surprised that people don't live by reason and logic more. And he asked me, why did I think that was? And I said, I think two things that superintend reason and logic are self-interest, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, follow the self, and emotions. Those two are so powerful that reason and logic has to fight their way in to conquer them. So you're absolutely right. But let me offer you another thought, too. You said that a lot of what I say is common sense, and that's good, because a guy once told me, a guy I respected, said, you want people, when you say something, you offer an observation, to kind of smack their forehead and say, oh, yeah, that's right. Why, yeah, yes, of course, because it sticks with them. It goes right into their structure of how they view life. So that's critical. But I think you're right, my friend. And one other point about common sense. A lot of common sense is wisdom of the ages. In other words, this is how people have done it. This is how people who came before us were successful, thinking this way and acting this way. And so what I say, I try to build upon what they knew, as opposed to some new and fancy theory that nobody's thought of, and it's a big stretch to get people to buy into it.
Yeah.
Well, my friend, thank you for the good words, and I kept you longer because you were so complimentary at the beginning, and I don't usually get that, so I just wanted
you to... We love you, man. We love you. We love you. We love you.
Oh, thank you, man. Blessed Thanksgiving to you, okay?
Okay, you too.
All right. You take good care. I got time. I'll get to... Let's go to Jill. Jill from South Dakota. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate your call more than you appreciate me taking your call. Just want to get that straight.
So we're a practicing Catholic family, and my husband and I have a good marriage. And our son is in a relationship with a young girl that has all the qualities that he wants in a wife. And her mother is a narcissist, and she's kind of been causing a few issues between them. And her husband don't have a very good marriage, so she hasn't been exposed to how good marriage can be. And I'm just wondering if I should encourage my son to just plow through this, or if it's going to be causing trouble forever.
You got to know how much the mother's influencing the daughter.
Okay.
The daughter may say, my mother looks at things so differently than I do. My mother's attitude about so many things, I don't want to follow. I don't want to live. I don't want to be like that. Or, you know, maybe you could encourage your son to find out that, you know, to the girl, you know, your mom has differing opinions, it seems like, than you do. How do you account for that? What is it? Does your mom have a lot of ability to influence you? Unfortunately, in-law struggles can really damage a marriage.
Yeah.
I've seen it in my office over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Where you got a very intrusive in-law. And unfortunately, usually more from the feminine side, and that's because women are more social creatures than guys are. We tend to be a little more socially oblivious. So I'd really want to know all these qualities that the girl has, where'd she get them? And how much... Go ahead.
She's kind of like the dad.
More so
than the mom.
How so?
Just going by from what my son has said. I've never met them, so
So you've never met you never met the potential daughter-in-law?
No, her parents.
Oh, her parents. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So in other words, what he could be saying is that mom is difficult to live with. You called it a narcissist. We got to watch for stretching that term too far these days. But mom is difficult to live with, and dad has had a long-standing putting up with her, trying to flow with her, trying to go with her, trying to be easier going, trying to be more reasonable. Is that the picture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they just kind of cohabitate.
Okay.
Which is, like, completely opposite of what our son is used to seeing in America.
Yeah. Let's find out. I would talk to your son and ask him to find out from the girlfriend how she sees her mom. The way her mom looks at life. The way her mom looks at marriage. How does she see her mom? You'll get an idea of how much mom can influence her in this relationship. And then at that point, maybe you might counsel the son to go slower. Thanks, Joe.
He is honored by the church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch. I have more than a hunch. That's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. I was watching a wonderful special on, I think, one of the best comedy shows ever written, Everybody Loves Raymond. And maybe I can relate to that because it's kind of like my family. And in the show, they talked about the title, getting the title, Everybody Loves Raymond. Of course, that's one of the themes of the show, is this Italian preference and favorability for the oldest male. Which I was. I was the oldest grandson. I'll tell you, the sun rose and set in my backside, according to my grandmother. But I think maybe if Jack Williams is listening, we ought to change the name of this program. You know, Doctors In is kind of normal. Let's change it, Jack. Let's change it. Instead of Everybody Loves Raymond, Some People Sort of Tolerate Raymond. That's better, I think. All right, we'll get to that call here in a second. Did you hear? I was reading this. Lincoln apparently studied by the fireplace. Mozart composed a lot of his best stuff by candlelight. And Galileo did his inventing by the light of an oil lamp. I thought, didn't any of these guys, for as bright as they are, ever think of working during the day? Oh, let's call an anonymous mom from the New England area. So she's anonymous in name. She's not even giving us the state. She's just giving us the area. Hi, anonymous. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm fine, dear. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
What did your son do? Yeah, what did he do?
My son jumped out of the window of the group home. It's been 8 months he's in the hospital. He had 10 surgeries in the group home. He jumped out.
He's been in the hospital for 8 months?
Yes, he had 10 surgeries.
Oh! He's 35 years old. How many bones did he break?
The legs, and you know, the legs, both legs. One he had worse than the other, external fixation. So we're waiting for him to be placed in another hospital near our home, like it's 20 minutes away, and they're still waiting for a bed. In the meantime, we've been going 6 days, 7 days a week in the Boston area for a two-hour drive with all the traffic and everything. We're in our 70s. Now, my husband's health has been affected. My health has been affected. Okay.
Now, I'm going to ask you a dumb question here, and I know this is going to sound really insensitive. Mm-hmm. Please, people, don't email me.
Yeah.
Why is it? Now, I'm going to assume that your son, if you're in your 70s, your son has had several decades of this kind of behavior, right?
Yes. Yes, okay. He's 35 years old. Yeah.
All right. So this is, he's developmentally disabled?
Yes.
And he's been in multiple group homes?
Yes.
Given that, I know, and I don't mean this to sound insensitive. Why is this still getting to you as badly?
Because we're waiting for the rehab in another hospital near our home, and they're still waiting for a bed or something.
But that's momentary frustration.
Yeah.
It sounds like what you're saying is this has been years and years and years and years of us hoping that our son would get better, that he wouldn't act out, that we could find a good facility that would keep these things from happening, right?
Yes.
And unfortunately, sadly, that's not been able to happen.
Right.
So on one hand, you can say, my son, because of his handicaps, does things that are just hard to anticipate. And he makes his life incredibly complicated and even self-destructive. Okay, that's the reality here. That is it.
Right.
If you want peace, Mom, some kind of peace in your 70s, you're going to have to accept that in a lot of ways you're powerless to stop him from doing these kinds of things. You're powerless. And the other thing is this. I know it's a beautiful sacrificial thing that you're doing to go there 7 days a week, a 2 hour round trip, or however many more hours it is.
3 hours.
But maybe you just can't do that. Maybe you go 3 days a week and you say to yourself, weighing everything, given our age, given the time, given all the complexities, we can't go 7 days a week. And if you're driven by guilt, if you say, well, somehow, some way, we got to make this better. Somehow, some way, we got to stabilize him. Somehow, some way, this is our fault. That'll drive you crazy.
Right. You're right. You're right. Yeah, my husband's very controlling. He's a dry drunk. And, you know, and he says, do something. It's like if you don't, it's, you know, anger.
So you're thinking that your husband is driving you to drive there 7 days a week?
No. He comes with me, but it was his idea to go when he was in intensive care, stayed there 3 hours. Then he's out of intensive care. It was his idea to go like 2.5 hours every, idea. And, and then now it's 2 hours. But to drive home, it's like 3 hours sometimes or 2 hours, back and forth because of traffic.
That's exhausting.
I know, yeah.
So why do you do it?
But he's unreasonable. Dry drunks are unreasonable. You know that.
Well, but he can't. Can he drag you into the car and throw you in the passenger seat?
Who?
Your husband.
No.
So you can say, well, if you're going to go, you can go yourself. I'm going to go 3 days a week. That's my limit.
Yeah. Yeah, I could do that, yeah. Well, detachment has helped. I go to Al-Anon meetings, and that's the answer.
All right. All
detach.
Right,
okay.
They're giving you good advice.
And then we had a case manager in the hospital. She, DDS, horrible. She says, well, just put him in the ward of the state. And my husband's daughter from the first marriage says the same thing. So now we're going to put all our house and everything, our savings, into our son. He's changing the will to help, you know, to get a better, hopefully have somebody. We're thinking about someone.
You might want to talk to a lawyer. You might want to talk to a lawyer about this.
We did. We did talk to a lawyer.
He's saying that you have to spend down all your assets before your son is eligible for Medicaid. He's an adult. He's an adult. I don't understand how you would be obligated to spend down your life savings and your assets until he can get... I'm sure he's getting federal and state help. So otherwise, he couldn't stay in those group homes. And he's probably getting Social Security disability. So given that, he's financially covered. I don't understand. Make sure you understand that, okay, dear? I got to let you go because I'm past break.
Good luck to you.
Right. Ken from Detroit, I'll be talking to you right on the other side of the break. This is Dr. Ray.
Hi, I'm Angie. Did you know a billboard can save a baby's life? It's true. You can make a difference this holiday by helping us spread the pro-life message to reach those who are struggling with an unplanned pregnancy. Our billboards and ads feature our 800 hotline for help, which connects people to pro-life centers nationwide that can assist with free medical help, baby supplies, and more. Won't you join us in this season of giving? Please make a gift today. Visit prolifeacrossamerica.org. That's prolifeacrossamerica.org.
Life's uncertainties can arise without warning. And without a clear legal plan, your wishes may go unfulfilled. Through our partnership with mycatholicwill.com/AVE, you can designate guardians for your children and allocate your assets to the individuals and causes you hold dear. Create your will at no cost from the privacy of your home. This Thanksgiving, take time to prioritize your family's peace of mind. mycatholicwill.com/AVE.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing our pilgrimage to charming Ireland and its rich Catholic heritage. The shrines are nestled in the quaint Emerald Isle. Lovely people, marvelous food, sweeping vistas. Everyone's favorite is Mass at Our Lady of Knock and its Eucharistic apparition. We hope you can join us in August, along with our Irish chaplain, Father James Conlon.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Segment before I wish you all a blessed Thanksgiving. This is good. This happens a lot too. Folks who drop call back. And Ken from Detroit called back, and I was speculating as to why he was first up on the show, but then he disappeared. Ken, if you're willing, why did you disappear? What happened?
Just had an interrupting call that kind of was possibly emergency, and it didn't pan out to be much of all. So I tried to get back as soon as I could.
I'm glad it wasn't an emergency, but, you know, clearly that person is more important than me.
Well, you know what they say about call waiting, first come, last serve. And I hate it, but it's a reality.
What do you got going on with your daughters there?
Yeah, so it's kind of an existential question, I guess. And the question is really, is what is settling, like when choosing a future spouse? I've got a great kid, loves the Lord, never been rebellious or anything, good relationship with her, and she trusts me on, you know, life advice. And she asked me, she's dated a few guys, some really nice guys and all that, but just can't pull the trigger or decide, like, this is the one, quote. And I'm at a loss for any advice to get. I don't want to steer her wrong and 20 years later say, man, my dad steered me wrong.
Well, you steering her wrong, Ken, implies that she listened to you, okay? You can steer her all you want. I would ask her, first off, I would ask her, I'd say, what was it about those relationships with those guys that you ended it? What did you see in those guys that you thought this is not a long-term one for me? That's what I'd ask. I'd ask that.
So I've had some deeper conversations, and it's like for the ones that I think they developed a little more seriously, at the end she says something to the effect that they just seem a little boring.
Well, I might
I might ask her. Know,
I would say define boring to me. Are you implying predictable and stable, or are you looking for a bad boy here? Bad boys aren't boring, but they certainly aren't anybody to marry.
That's true. She hasn't gone down that road at all. Like she is sensible enough. And, you know, it's really that existential part of, am I settling for this person? He doesn't check every box. And I told her, well, no one's going to check every box, but you know, at the same time, I lucked out. I found, you know, the girl of my dreams, and we're happily married. And I think she's seen that. And so she wants maybe something that my wife and I have, which is, you know, we're still in love with each other after 25 years. And we, I don't know exactly what she wants, but I think she wants to have some excitement in her future. And she feels, maybe she hasn't been getting that.
And well, I think what it sounds like she's saying is that I want to have the Twitterpation of a relationship. It's kind of tingly and all exciting and all that kind of thing. I would say you don't have to check off every box, but you got to check off a couple of key ones. One would be
a couple of the main ones.
Yeah, one would be that you share the faith with me. Now, in checking off that box, she's automatically now dramatically limited her reach, because this is something that is now happening with all kinds of faith-filled young women nowadays. They just can't find a guy that is not only religious, but even responsible and mature. They're having a heck of a time doing that. So at this point, you got to ask her, okay, what are the key boxes? All right?
Right.
So maybe this guy isn't as quite as much fun as you think he could be, but what else is it here that would definitely fit your idea of a person for life? I think that's what she's got to sort through. She can't equate fun and exciting with religion. I mean, the two are far apart in terms of a box you're going to check.
Correct. And she is, like, to clarify, she is only looking among, you know, Catholic men. And she is willing to be, forego anything else. Like, she has a very good head on her shoulders. I just don't want to push her to say, look, you got to take somebody. And then at the end, you know, her.
Don't say anything, Ken. Ken. If you're worried about giving the wrong advice, don't say anything. You said she's got a good head on her shoulders. She's looking for a good Catholic guy. Okay, good enough. You don't need to say anything. You don't need to say, well, have you done this? Have you considered this? Have you thought about this? It sounds like she's already thought about that stuff.
Although she has come to me multiple times, saying, well, what do you think? Like, you know, you and Mom have this great long-term relationship. What do you think about going forward? Because I feel like I didn't have to settle. You know, like my wife checked all my boxes. So I feel like I really lucked out. I'm one of those.
You help her out. I'm going to have to let you go because I want to wish a few people happy Thanksgiving. You basically get settled for her. What are the critical things about this long-term relationship, this life relationship? What are the critical things The other things could be differences in personality. And that's going to be the case with anybody she meets. Ken, thank you. Blessed Thanksgiving.
Right. Okay.
I want to wish you.
Thank you. You too.
You're welcome, sir. I want to wish all of you, my listeners, all 196 of you. Blessed Thanksgiving to you all. And translate that gratitude into life. You know, you can be grateful and not have it translate into your life, if you know what I mean. And Andrew Krucek and Eric Dumont and all the folks at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, thank you so much for giving me the opportunities that you have. Jack, I'll see you next week. Walk with God, the greatest gratitude.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.